Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, church. I'm excited to be here once again, young people, to bring you a message from the Lord. And before I do, I just want to say a couple things. One, coming up a week from today at 1 o'clock, help me if I get this wrong, ¿cómo se dice en español? Día de los niños, Day of the Children in Voces. I went to it last year. It was a good time, and Brother Seidel, I'm sure, would love to make room in the pews for anyone who wants to come. It's a great time. Also, on June 3rd of this year, Save Our Children is hosting crusades throughout. There's like four or five of them going on in Wisconsin. On June 3rd, we're hosting one right here at Calvary Gospel Church at 7 p.m. It's on a Wednesday night. We're going to do a children's crusade, and Brother Steve Cannon's going to be here. He's our director over Sunday school nationwide. And Brother Philip Wagner, he's an evangelist, a child evangelist. He's a lot of fun to watch. And Brother Jeff Albertson. So you don't want to miss that. It's some stuff to look forward to. And I also, I'm so honored to have our bishop here. He's not here right now. He's having some problems with his feet, and he went to take a walk to help. But I just want to say something, young people. I know some of you don't know Bishop Grant as well as, you know, you're not used to seeing him as much or whatever, but I just want to say what an honor it is to Bishop Grant was our pastor here for many years, and recently he stepped down and Pastor Roy took over, and Bishop Grant has been such a blessing to this church, such a blessing to many people, and I just wanted to say personally, a personal testimony of Bishop Grant. One day, Nicole and I backslid. No, just kidding. No, we went on vacation, and we went to another church, though, but seriously, we went to another church all the way in North Carolina, and if you've ever heard of Wayne Huntley, anyone ever heard of Wayne Huntley? What a great man of God, and what an honor it was to go into Brother Huntley's church and to hear the preaching, and it was really cool, and we sat there, and Brother Huntley came back to us, and he shook our hand, and he said, "What church are you from?" And we said, "We're from Madison, Wisconsin," and right away, boom, it lit up. He's like, "Oh, Reverend John Grant," you know, and we were like, "Oh, yes, sir." So Bishop Grant is known throughout the United States, and he's held with high esteem, so when you see him, I know he's going through some hard times with his health, but please give him respect and give him a big old hug. He loves that. Praise God. Well, before we get started, I just want to pray one more time. Yes. I want to pray, Lord God, we want you to have your way right now, and we're inviting you to come in here to minister, to speak to us, Lord God. We pray that you would bind every distraction. I claim authority right now in Jesus' name. I plead your blood over this service in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you are so good. You are so good. Well, I just, I wrote a sermon recently. And I was going to speak it tonight, and God said, "No, that's not the one I want you to speak on." And this one's not going to be the longest sermon, but God has something special he wants to do here tonight. God has sent me here to declare to you that there is a spirit of deliverance in this place. If you are struggling with something in your life, God is here. And he wants to help you to break through that situation in Jesus' name. The title of the sermon tonight is "The Walls Must Come Down." The walls must come down. And when I say the walls, we're not talking about Justin Wall and Sarah Wall and the beautiful twins, because we would never ask of that. But when we talk about walls, we're talking about the barriers. Sometimes they can be used as protection. Sometimes they can be used as privacy. Sometimes they can be used to keep us warm. We insulate our walls. And We talk about walls. Sometimes they can be used in prisons. They use walls to keep the prisoners in, so they're used to keep people from going out. In landscaping, they use walls to keep dirt retained. And along the ocean, to hold back the driving forces of the sea. We can find lots and lots of examples of different walls. But the walls we're going to talk about tonight are some different kind of walls. All right? It's been said by a man named Robert Frost, don't ever take a fence down until you know why it was put up. Now liken that unto the story of a man who bought a house. His name was Rob. No, just kidding. The man bought a house, and he started to fix up that house, and he wanted to make his house beautiful, and he worked hard, and he made the house beautiful. And he thought, wow, now I have this beautiful house. He looked out in the yard, and he saw a fence. He saw a wall, a barrier. He thought, wow, I'm just going to tear down that old rusty barbed wire fence, that wall. So he went out. And he started working hard, and he started pulling out fence stakes and taking barbed wire out and cutting it up. And he was going to town, and he was sweating, and he lost track of what was going on around him. Well, little did that man know that the farmer next door had a big old bull. All right, I'll let you finish that story in your imagination. Don't ever take a fence down until you know why it was put up. Young people, we may not understand barriers and walls that your parents, that your grandparents, that have been set up before you, but don't go ripping them down in your life. They were put there for a reason, for your protection from the enemy. Praise God. Even God has set up walls and barriers in our lives. We look to the Word of God. We think about holiness standards. God is a holy God, and He's called us to be a holy people, peculiar. He's given us walls. He's given us His commandments. These are things that we are to do or not to do. And if we break down those walls and we go past them, it's called sin. All right? They're placed there for our protection. God has placed those walls there for our protection. And those walls are also designed to help keep us from violating our relationship with Him. See, we serve a holy God. He's already had one insurrection, and He's not going to deal with another one. And He's given us walls. He's given us boundaries. He's given us these to protect us. Imagine, if I may, you are coming home, you're driving home, and you look from afar, and you see your house, your neighborhood, but you start to kind of see something different from a distance. And you start to drive. As you get closer, you can come closer, and you start to make out a shape. You're not sure what it is. Many times we've seen stuff, and we've kind of, from a distance, we're like, what is that? So as you get closer and you get closer, you realize it's a wall and it's kind of right in your neighborhood. It's a huge wall. And as you get closer yet, you start to round the corner to your house and you realize that this wall has been placed around your house, preventing you from gaining access to what is rightfully yours. Imagine for a moment how you would feel. You have every right to be inside there. That is yours. But somebody has come and built something restricting you from going to where you are rightfully able to go. Some people call them squatters, land grabbers, trespassers. Well, today we're going to jump in our time machine again like we did this morning. So I'm going to go over here to our invisible time machine. Where did I park that thing? Oh, here it is. We're going to get in our invisible time machine. I'm going to cover everyone in that. And you close your eyes for a moment, and we're going to go back in time. This morning we talked about Joseph, and we talked about being wrapped in God's majesty, being part of his kingdom, being born into the kingdom, and how that when we are born in the kingdom of God, we are heirs to the throne. And we talked about how we are heirs to the throne, but this is not our kingdom. We're going into another kingdom. So as we're moving forward or backwards in our time machine, we're going back, back, back. We start to look down. There's Abraham Lincoln. I see that. Did you guys see that? Okay. We're going back further. There's Pastor Roy. Did you see that? I thought, how old is he? I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. I'm going to get fired. We're going back in our time machine. We're going back, and we're slowing down to here we are again. Here's Joseph. You know, and we talked about how Joseph had delivered, God used Joseph to deliver the children of Israel. And now here we are, and the children of Israel are in Egypt. And, you know, it was a great thing that God used that, but shortly after that, something terrible happened. The children of Israel started becoming the workers of Egypt. They started becoming in bondage. They found themselves in a situation that seemed inescapable. They had a wall around them. They needed to escape, but they had no way of getting out. All right? And the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 3, I'm just going to read this quick. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Excuse me, I missed some. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold on, I'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. I wanted to talk about Moses. God called Moses. Moses was a baby when God had first saved him. Moses, he was delivered in a time that all the children were ordered to be killed. And it was a horrible thing, but Moses' mother, she did something, and I have with me right here a basket. Moses' mother took a basket, and she prayed over that basket, and she opened it up, and she placed her little baby in that basket, and she put her baby in the river, and she prayed over that baby because she knew that God had big plans for Moses, and she knew that it wasn't the will of God for Moses to go like the other children were at that time. It was a harsh time, a horrible time. There was terrible things going on. So she laid Moses in the basket. She placed him in the river. Moses went through the river and found his way, of all places, at the very feet of Pharaoh's wife. At the very feet of her handservants, she sent her handservants out into the river to retrieve the basket. What is that? What is it over there? Can you go get that? It intrigued her. She opened it up. She looked inside. She saw a beautiful baby. She was able to differentiate that. She knew that wasn't an Egyptian baby. She knew it was a Hebrew baby, but she still decided at that moment that she was going to have compassion on that child and that she was going to take it in her home and raise it as her own. And so I can tell you this, it was by no accident that that happened. See, God always orchestrates in his word. God always crafts in his word, and we don't tend to see God's hand in our lives. We don't see the way things are happening. You know, we tend to see the moment. But God is always working things. The Bible says that all things work together according, you know. And so, we're going to read from Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses, verse 1, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So that would be Mount Horeb, right? Anyone from Mount Horeb? And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame out of fire, out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burnt. So Moses is going along, and he sees this bush on fire. And he says, hey, I'm going to go check this out, right? And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And I have to stop right there. I think it's so important to say that it's so cool that we serve a God that wants to personalize and get on our level. God knew his name. He could have just said, hey, you. But God, he cares about you. He cares about me. He cares about everyone. And he wants the best for you. Here I am. And he said, draw nigh, not nigh hither. Put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereunto thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, for they're in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Now here's the really cool part. Here's what we're trying to read. We're getting to the promise. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. God made a promise unto Moses. He wanted to use Moses to bring the children of Israel out of their situation, out of their bondage, out of this place that they are trapped in. They're trapped by these walls, if you may. And God wanted to see to deliver them. So God called Moses. Moses, I want to use you. And God wants to use some of you, young people. He wants to use every one of you, actually. We just need to be sensitive. When God calls, we need to hear from him. We need to be quick to turn aside and to say, here I am in our spirit. So God used Moses to lead the Egyptians, the Israelites. He went down to Egypt, and Moses went before Pharaoh, and he said, Pharaoh, the Lord God has told me to tell you to release his people. And we all know the story. As the story goes, he did this several times, followed by the Pharaoh was stubborn because he said, who are you to tell me that? Who are you to tell me that? And then that was followed by some plagues, and there was some time of misery. See, God allows misery to come in our lives at times to soften us up, just like he did with Pharaoh, because sometimes we're not willing to listen to God. So we need to be willing to listen to God. And the Bible tells us the Lord chasteneth whom he loveth. All right. So God had softened Pharaoh's heart. And finally, Pharaoh said unto Moses, go, get your people and go. He tore down the wall and he said, go. So Moses took the children of Israel and he left. And not only did he say go, but they also loaded them up with all the good stuff, the things that they need, because here they were dependent on the Egyptians for all this time. They didn't have cars. They didn't have, you know, whatever. So the Egyptians said, not only are we going to send you, but we're going to give you what you need to go, because we just want you guys out of here. All right? So God has blessed them. But the children of Israel were kind of in a mindset. They were in a mindset. They were used to being told what to do. They were in Egypt for too long, and that sometimes that mindset where they, you know, we have to break out of that mindset. That mindset can be a wall in itself in our own lives. So Moses took the children of Israel and he left, and they fled, and they came up to what? The sea, the water, another wall, another barrier. Now, we're not talking about any sea. We're talking, if you've ever been out to the sea, you've ever been out to the ocean, you've ever been out to one of the Great Lakes, it's pretty cool because you can stand there and look for the other side, but you can't see the other side because it's so vast and far away. And you look to the right and you look to the left and you think to yourself for a moment, okay, here I am up against this wall of water. There is no way that, okay, if you were by yourself, you could jump in a boat maybe and make it across that. But you had a whole lot of people behind you, a whole lot of people that you were supposed to be delivering over this area. So Moses must have been just frustrated in his mind. Okay, God, you've made it. You've delivered us. You've got us this far. Now what? Here's another wall, Lord. And God made a way. So God told Moses what to do, and Moses lifted his staff, and God took the water, and he split the water. And not only did Moses, if you've ever been in the ocean, if you've ever been in the lake, if you've ever been in, you think about how nasty and muddy and mucky that water would be, but the Bible says that not only did he allow them to cross, but he allowed them to cross on dry ground. See, our God doesn't do things half-heartedly. He does things all the way. He wants the best for you. So Moses got to the other side, and the children of Israel made a mistake. They fell into attitude problems, and God was just like, you know, they're not ready for this promised land, this special place. God has prepared a special place for each one of us, and we have to prepare our hearts to go there. But you know what? If our attitude is not right, God is going to allow us to go through some attitude changing, some rough stuff. That's right. So God took the children of Israel and he sent them into the wilderness. And if you've ever been to the wilderness, it can be a whole new world, and it was a whole new world to the children of Israel, because they're used to living in somewhat of homes and food, and now all of a sudden they got to go, you know, etc. And so they did this for, the Bible says, for 40 years. It wasn't just a short amount of time. Do we have anyone in the house that's 40 that's willing to admit it? 40 years, that's your whole life. You're in the wilderness. We're not talking about in the dells either. Going down water slides. You're in the wilderness. So the children of Israel are in the wilderness, and God was providing for them. And the Bible tells us that the children of Israel got thirsty. So God gave instruction to Moses to strike a rock, and water would come out. So Moses struck the rock and water came out. You know, after a long car ride, we tend to get crabby. We tend to get cranky. Moses was in the wilderness, and the kids are in the back seat, and they're all whining. So he got a bad attitude, okay? He started to get one. So the Bible tells us that later the Israelites got thirsty again. I'm thirsty. I gotta pee. So God instructed Moses this time to speak to the rock, okay? God changed it, and there's a reason he changed it. See, God wanted Moses to obey him. And God, you know, gave him specific direction. But Moses got a bad attitude. And just like all of us, when we get a bad attitude, we can throw a temper tantrum. And so Moses, instead of speaking to the rock this time, the Bible says that he struck the rock. He struck it. Now, you or I may think, wow, what's the big deal? But it's a big deal when you disobey God, okay? When God directly gives you an order and you're told to do something, and when we disobey it, it's a big deal. So we need to obey God's word. We need to obey God's laws because it's a big deal. It can keep you from going into the promised land, and that soon was a lesson that Moses learned because God took his chance, his opportunity from going into the promised land. He said, Moses, you know, he didn't say this to him, but he basically took away Moses. Well, actually, I think he did. I'm thinking about the scripture. He said, Moses, you're not going to go into the children of Israel. I'm going to take your assistant, Joshua, and to lead you. So I say this to learn a lesson from Moses. Don't let a bad attitude keep you from receiving God's promise in your life. Sometimes we face walls, we face things, we face barriers and situations, but we need to keep a good attitude. As Bishop Grant has always taught us, your attitude determines your altitude. How far in life you want to go. That means through the rain and the storm and the sun. You look at athletes, and you look at all the athletes out there, and they're in their prime, and they're having game day, and but they work hard to get there. They face some things, and it was their attitude that helped them to get there. So Moses had a bad attitude. God said no. So God said, Joshua, I want you to take the Israelites over into the promised land. And so Joshua got over there, and what did he find? Joshua came home. This is God's promised land. God said, this is your land. I have given it to you, to the children of Israel. And they go over there, and they find somebody is already taking their spot. Have you ever been to a game, and you got a ticket, and you look on there, and you look for your seat, and you have every right to be there, but somebody's already taken your seat. And you're like, well, what am I going to do now, you know? So I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what I would do. I'd go find a better seat. Yeah, there you go. Anyways, so God called Joshua to go, and he told him and instructed him what Joshua was to do. Joshua didn't get frustrated when he saw the wall, when he saw the barrier, when he saw the thing. He didn't get frustrated. He didn't say, well, it was a good trip. We had a good time. There it is. We made it. All right, let's go. He didn't do that. Joshua started looking for options, and they started waiting on the Lord, and God spoke and told Joshua, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take all the high priests, and I want you to have them lead the army and to go around the wall. For 6 days they were to do this, one time every day. And I think it's so important that we observe that God had the high priest lead the army. We need to let God's men lead our lives. We need to listen to their authority. We need to listen to our pastors. And as they lead God's army to the promised land, to the place where God wants us to be, we need to put them out there in front and just listen to them. It's so important that we listen to the man of God. So the high priest did this. They went around 6 days, and God told them on the seventh day, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go around it on the seventh day seven times. And when you get around it on the seventh time, I want you to shout. All right? And when you do this, the Bible says that the wall will kind of crack a little bit, right? Maybe it'll shake and there'll be a little passage and you guys can sneak in there, right? No, the Bible says that the wall will come down flat. It uses the word flat, all right? And I think it's important to observe that because the situations in your life, if we submit to God and we say, God, there's this wall, and God gives us deliverance, he's going to deliver it, and he's going to take it away. Amen? Praise God. So I'm here to tell you that there have been some walls built in your lives, in your homes, in your schools, in your family, in your walk with God. And he has given us the word that these walls must come down. Must come down. In our homes, we can have walls in our homes. We can have walls in our relationships between parents and our children. We can have walls in our relationships between husbands and wives. These walls must come down. In our schools, there's barriers and walls that try to tell us that we can't pray in school anymore, and that we can't, they don't want God in school anymore, and these walls must come down. We need to see God thriving in our schools, in our families. And I'm talking about your extended families. Maybe there's walls being built and being established around your family. Maybe the enemy is attacking your family. We need to claim deliverance, and we need to pray that these walls come down in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And in your personal walk with God, maybe you've allowed something in your life. There's something there. There's a wall. Maybe it has to do with a computer or an ice cold beverage or something that's just taking control of your life. God wants to give you deliverance. Deliverance. Flat. Nothing left. God doesn't want us to tolerate the wall. He didn't call Joshua to go over there and see the wall and say, oh, there's the wall. I'm just going to tolerate it. It's in my parking place. It's where that I'm supposed to be. This is my house. No, God said, flat. All right? He didn't say, build next to the wall. Well, there's enough room in this site. We can both share the site. No, this is God's promised land. God's not going to share his promised land with anyone but his children, the heirs to the kingdom. Amen? Praise God. God doesn't want us, when he delivers us from these walls, to go out and pick up the tools and to start to build new walls. And sometimes we're guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. I've done it before. We've all done it. We need to repent daily, the Bible says. We need to die to our sins daily. We need to flatten that wall every day. Every day we're faced with opportunity. And the enemy, we don't see him, but he's there. He's trying to get in our homes. He's trying to work his little thing. And he's trying to construct these walls. He's trying to restrict. He's trying to restrict you from gaining access to God, and he's quite good at it, if I may say so myself. It's too often the world we live in, walls are being constructed around us. Walls that are trying to limit our rights, our beliefs, our freedoms. The world is trying to strip God out of our lives and has built walls of limitation. The world wants, they don't mind if we have God, but we can only keep him in this little box. And we can only bring him out in certain circumstances. But see, God wants to have us to have a relationship with him. See, in the Bible, the children of Israel were led by the high priest. They were led by the man of God. And Israel went and said, you know what? We want a king. And that's when the problems really started to happen. And see, when in our lives, when we say, well, we don't want God to lead us anymore. We want the king to lead us now, okay? And we're living in a world where the world wants to take God out of the world. They want to take the King of Kings out, and they want to have someone else tell everyone how to do things. It's important that we allow the King of Kings to dictate and that we follow his word. These walls must come down. Hallelujah. So I'm excited today, and I'm going to ask our musicians to come because I believe that God has something special he wants to do right now. God wants to do something right now. God wants us to break down some walls in our lives. There is some walls that are there that we need to come up to the altar. That is a good place to start. And to deconstruct these walls, to give them to God. And I have one more passage of scripture I just want to read quickly. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1, there was a man, the Bible says, he's talking about God, the disciples, and it says, they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. There was a man who had a lot of walls in his life. He had something holding him back from getting a hold of God. There was something that was deeply rooted in his life. And the Bible says, who had his dwelling amongst the tombs? This man was so restricted that he was living amongst the graveyards. How disgusting. And no man could bind him. They tried to help him, but nobody can help him. This man amongst the tombs, they tried to help him. They tried to bind him. What can we do? The world sees the needs to break through certain walls, and they'll try to break through, but they can't, because what they have to break through them, only God can break through. And the Bible says that they put chains on him, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. In verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. These walls were deep-rooted in his life. And the Bible says, and always at night and day, he was in the mountains. He was in the tombs. He was crying. He was cutting himself with stones. He was miserable. How am I going to get out of this situation? I'm in this situation. I don't know what I'm going to do. In verse 6, the Bible says, but when he saw Jesus, there's the answer. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him.
No wall that's constructed in your life can keep you away from Jesus. God can help you break through whatever the situation is in your life. You may have something you're dealing with and you're sitting there saying, what am I going to do? I don't know, God. I'm cutting myself. I'm disgusted. You may not be cutting yourself on the outside, but on the inside, you're hurting. You're hurting yourself. You're feeling so helpless. You keep returning back to that. The Bible uses the analogy of a dog returning to his vomit. We've all seen it. It's disgusting. We don't know why they do it. But yet, we return to our sins at times in our lives, and we pick up those things. We need to eradicate them flat in our lives. We need to give them up to Jesus. He is the one who can deliver us. Sometimes we try to rationalize in our minds, well, maybe if I do this, I can get deliverance. No, no. The only thing that's going to get you through that wall is Jesus. He is the only thing that's going to get you through. So we're going to ask everyone to stand right now. And God has a special deliverance right now that He's going to pour out in this place. If you're here today and you're feeling trapped and you're feeling bound up and you don't know what to do, you don't know where to turn, I'm going to ask you to come up here. I'm going to ask you to come up here and lift your hands. Lift your hands to the answer, because the answer draweth nigh. He wants to deliver you right now. And that starts with good old-fashioned repentance. We need to come before Him and repent and say, God, I want to lay this thing in your hands. I want to lay this thing at your feet. I don't want it in my life anymore. God wants to deliver you. If you're here today and you need the... You want to become part of the kingdom. You got to start at the kingdom. To get the King's blessings, you need to start at the kingdom. You need to become part of His children, His heirs. We're going to ask you to come up here, and God will fill you with His Spirit right now. And if you're here today and you're sick in your body and there's walls, and the doctor said these walls are going to claim your life, or there's no way, we don't know how you're going to get healed, but there's nothing we can do. But God can tear down that wall in your life. God can tear it down flat. We just need to come.